Bobby Cotta.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
There is one on the floor. She
Bright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Father, my God, we just thank you. Adonai, we praise you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, lover of our souls. We worship and we adore you. Father, my God, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're yet to do. We thank you, for the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you, that Father, my God, you woke us up today, Father, and my God, Lord Jesus, and you've taken us to this point of the day. Father, we're grateful, we're grateful, we are so grateful. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you did, especially this season. Remember all that you did for us. We are truly grateful. All those thousands of years you saw us and decided we were worth it. We were worth it. We are grateful. We're grateful, Lord. We are grateful. We're grateful, Lord Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We lay down everything and we focus upon you. We lay all down, all our cares, all our worries, and we focus upon you. We fix our eyes upon the one. Father, my God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome. We're going to continue with what we were looking at regarding Easter, Lent, this season that we're in. You know, Passover. You know, just remembering we've had Palm Sunday where, Jesus was welcomed in and everyone was celebrating. Everybody was celebrating. It was like, wow, this is like, you know, if you think about it, what must have been in the atmosphere, and everybody was just celebrating and cheering. And I try to imagine what it must have been like. And the fact that Jesus knew what was going to happen, but you know, the people were really just, wow. I want you to picture it. I really want you to picture it. You know, I want you to picture it. Just picture. He went, he told the disciples to get the donkey. And I'm going to read part of Matthew 21. Because sometimes we hear it so many times. But I want you to picture it, what it was like. He knew what was to come. Matthew 21. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him And those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Wow. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I want you to picture, because that's what happened earlier. But we're going to be looking at the power of the cross. Sometimes, you might have wondered sometimes, why is the death of Jesus is referred to Good Friday, since it's the day that involves so much pain and agony and heartache? Because remember, it mentions about how the disciples were just looking on, one denied, the others ran away, you know, so much was of confusion was there. Judas had betrayed him, then had the supper, Peter had denied, so much had happened. And you'll think, why refer to it as Good Friday? It's because even though it involved a lot of pain and agony and heartache, it's because we're looking forward to what is to come. The resurrection that makes it particularly good. Now, this reminds me, you know, sometimes when we're looking at a situation, we can say, this has not happened. We can list all the things that have not happened. But this is to encourage us that we need to see further to the result and say, you know, thank you, Jesus, for maybe the job. Thank you, Jesus, for the children. Thank you, Jesus, for the marriage. Thank you, Jesus. And speak life into the situation that looks hopeless, because it's not ended yet. No, Good Friday is called Good Friday because it's speaking of the end of the matter, not where it is right now, not what was happening on that day. We're speaking of the resurrection. Everything has two sides, two ends. The cross has the crucifixion and the resurrection side. Now we can look at we can look at what's come to mind. Moses, where before, and the Israelites, before they crossed the sea, there was a lot of gnashing, wailing. We're going to die here. This is the end of the matter. These Egyptians are so close by. To when they crossed to the other side, where they actually sang praises. They got a song. They made a song. You know, the horse and rider. They spoke of those things that had happened to testify of God's goodness. So in our situation, I want to encourage us that we should endeavor to look forward and speak of those things that are to come in our situation, and not just look at what's happening right now, because it's not yet over. It's not over until Jesus says it's over. Now, if we look at Hebrews 12, it says, Hebrews 12, this is Passion Translation. As for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us, and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out for us. We look away from the natural realm and focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it in that was a Passion Translation. I'm going to read it in the Living. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Okay? Now, the Passion says, so let us let go of every wound that pierces us. This one says, strip off every weight that slows us down. Now, I do like the wound that pierces us, because sometimes we've got a lot of pain. We might have some pain, some hurt, disappointment, and is telling us we must let it go. We must let it go. Now, when we're thinking of that, those things do weigh us down. They weigh heavily on our minds. They cause us to think and rethink and overthink some situations. And it says, so we must let go of every wound that pierces us. Everything that pierces us, every pain, every hurt, we need to let it go. Let it go. Let it go, because it slows us down. And it says in the Living Translation that, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So there are things that slow us down and trip us up. Maybe you can be triggered and you say and do something that you ought not to do, but you're being triggered, so you just like a natural reaction. And all these things, we've got to let it go. And it's really hard, especially when you're triggered. It's hard to let go of pain and hurt. And especially, as I said, that pierces. You know, when someone has said or done something, it's just hurt you to the core. And those being tricked up, those triggers, not responding to the triggers, we need to endeavor not to. We need to endeavor not to. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked before us. Endurance, passion, determination. Endurance speaks of something like, you know, determination, that you've got endurance. You're going to endure something. You're going to go through something, but you're going to come to the other side. That's a promise. You're going to go through to get to the other side. And this is our encouragement. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. The other version says, we look away from natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation, or we gaze upon Jesus with full expectations that he's enough. We fix our eyes. We focus. keeping our eyes on Jesus. I'm encouraging us to fix our eyes, because there's a lot that's going on in the world, physically, spiritually, there's a lot going on, and we need to fix our eyes on Jesus so that we know. Just imagine if Moses didn't fix his eyes on God, didn't fix his eyes and started to join with, wow, the water is doing something. Yes, we're going to, well, this is happening, this is happening. Can you imagine? In fact, I'm sure many of you can imagine. He wouldn't have seen all that he saw. And probably, dare I say, maybe the water wouldn't have parted. God wanted to part, but he needed Moses to fix and hold his staff. Stay in a position. So I encourage us to have our attention and have an expectation to gaze upon Jesus with full expectation that you know that he's going to do it. That we know he's going to do it. Everything you believe in God for, I encourage you to fix your eyes knowing that he's going to do it. Knowing that he's in the process of doing it. Father, we fix our eyes upon you, knowing that you are in the process of working everything out for our good. We fix our eyes upon you. Everywhere we're distracted and we're taking our eyes on, we repent of such and we fix our eyes upon you, knowing that, Lord Jesus, you are taking us forward. You are taking us forward. We are transfixed upon you. We are transfixed upon you so that we will hear what you say. Father, my God, Lord Jesus, we'll see when you move. Father, my God, we will know what to do. We will know what to do because our eyes are fixed and transfixed upon you. And we are expecting, Lord, we are expecting a good outcome because we have fixed upon you. Our faith is being increased because we're fixed upon you. Lord, we've not come to the end of the matter. Father, my God, Lord Jesus, we've not come to the end. So we know that, Father, my God, what you are doing has not ended, Father. That you are still working. You are still moving. And we are still believing you for that outcome. For that outcome. For those that believe to be married, oh Lord, make it so in the name of Jesus. Those that believe for children, make it so in the name of Jesus. Those that are believing for jobs, make it so in the name of Jesus. Father, my God, those that are believing for good health, make it so in the name of Jesus. Whatever, Father, my God, studies, you know, relationships, whatever. Father, my God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus, that has been looked, that people are fixing their eyes upon you, looking for what you're going to do. Father, my God, encourage them, oh Lord. Father, my God, grace them in the time of waiting, Lord. Grace them so they will know and see your move in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it says in, okay, this is verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Wow, I love that. Initiates, started it, and perfects it. The Passion Translation says, unto Jesus who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Birth, faith, initiated. Now, when I think of birth, I think it's not just started, it's actually materialized into something. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen. So, when something is birthed, when I'm thinking of a child that's been birthed, we see the physical manifestation of what is actually been happening for the nine so months. Okay, we see what's been happening when the child is birthed, that this is what was happening, this is what the child looks like, this is the features. It's not that it's going to say it's going to grow and mature, but we see. So if we look that initiated and then we look at birth, so there's a little faith as small as a mustard seed, and then that is going to be born, but it still needs to be perfected to all that it's supposed to be. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Just imagine that you have a tree and it's got a little, you know, I've got a tree in the back that has little apples on, cooking apples, but a special type of apple. And when it first comes, it just a tiny, really, really tiny, and then it grows bigger. So when it first starts, it's like initiated all that beginning process that we didn't see, birthed it, that we can see a little fruit, and then it perfected it, we grow till we can, it has, you know, something that you could take and eat, something that you can partake of. So I want us to look at it that way. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. For his example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. Wow. This is almost like a love letter from Jesus. To say, I knew, you know. You know when it says, I knew you. This is like Jesus focused on you so much because knowing that you would be his. He endured everything. Everything. And conquered because he rose. Okay? Wow, that's even more than amazing. It's actually, can't really comprehend it. It's a lot. And I want us to sit in that moment, because sometimes we rush in Easter and then we get, okay. No, I want to state what he went through, what he did for us. We're going to have a break. And I want you to think of the song, but think of that moment, that how much he loved you. He focused and went through all he went through because of you. Personalize it because of you. We'll be back after the break.
I was a wretch. Separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I have to confess, I was singing it out loud. I haven't heard the song for a while. It's beautiful, beautiful. Hallelujah. We were looking at, and I wanted you to really think about the price that he'd paid for us. I want us to go on to, so welcome back. I've gone into my own. We've gone to Romans 8. Romans 8, okay, we're going to go from 27. God searches the heart, God searches of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plans and our destiny. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his destiny, destined purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born and destined. And he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his Son. This means the Son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. Wow. Wow. That's Romans 8, 27, and I went to 29. Jesus had to endure one side to get to the other side. You know, we were looking at the Good Friday, and we were looking at why it's called Good Friday, and it was foretelling what was to come. But if he hadn't endured, then we'd still be left without a savior and no forgiveness of our sins. Like Jesus. Because remember in Romans said we're being made like him. We have to endure difficult things. And I know it's really hard because I don't really like going through difficult things. I've got to confess. But we go through, you know, one day I was reflecting and I realized the word testimony has test. And I thought, this is actually telling us who is going to give a testimony. You're actually saying, who's going to give a result of your test, your examination? You've been through an exam, and who's going to declare the results? Who's going to stand up and declare the results so everybody can be encouraged? That's what we're saying by saying testimony. Like Jesus, we have to endure difficult things. When we go through hard times, we can think of enduring as to outlast the enemy's plans, to be steadfast long enough to let the trial, let the test do whatever it wants to do, as it were, and for us to get through to the other side. Now, you might think, do whatever it wants to do, but I'm reminded of when we go for an exam, when we go for a driving test, when we go for GCSE stats, the exam is set and it does what it wants to do, but it's how we go through to get to, then when we get the results, we know we have passed and we have a testimony. You know, we have been steadfast. We haven't gotten up and decided we can't do it anymore. Now, you might think that is very flippant, but sometimes when you are really stressed, anxious, and overwhelmed with it all, sometimes the thought comes to you, I don't need to do this. I don't need this kind of pressure. I don't need to this kind of stress. I don't need to be bothered with all this. But no, it's not. We need to ask for God's grace. We need to ask for God's help to go through and to endure, to go through for His grace to strengthen us. You know, God searches our heart and knows our longings. He knows our heart's desire. You know, yet He understands the desires of the Spirit. So we might be desiring something, but He wants to fulfill the true desire of our hearts to be fully His. Grace triumphs. Because that's why we need to ask for God's grace to go through, to get to where He's taking us to. Now, we can trust that in all things, God is working everything out for good for them that love and accord according to His purpose. I'm going to read I've read Romans. I'm going to read it in another translation because this is Living Translation. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So the Spirit is interceding. The Spirit is, you know, as the Passion translate, passionate pleads before God for us. And it's working in perfect harmony with God's plans and God's desires and design for us, for our destiny. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son will be the firstborn born among many brothers and sisters. Passion translates, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven for good, is in harmony. God is working it in harmony. God is putting it for good. So even though it might not look good now, it is woven together. It is coming together for good. For we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His designed purpose. Can you imagine? God saw you and said, you have a purpose. So when someone says, what is your purpose? Sometimes we're discovering it. Sometimes it looks so big, we think, no, it can't be that. You know, something drops in your heart, you think, no, it can't be that. That's beyond me. But God is not, you know, okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. Come back to Moses. When Moses was called, it felt like, I'm sure it felt like it was beyond him. And that's why he was given a lot of sign. And that's why he said he can't speak. And that's why so many things. Not only because of Pharaoh, but so he will be assured and reassured that God has a purpose. And he fixed his eyes. And he worked everything out. Because he still took the Israelites to the promised land. He worked everything out. So I want us to focus on that. Fix your eyes. And he'll take you to the destination. To the designed purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born. You know, and I don't know if you can imagine, the Lord just knew. Because sometimes we think, well, the Lord, you know, so many years ago, and you just think, because you can get to that place that you just read the Bible and then you study the Bible and you get almost like over familiar. But I want us to get to that place that you are that special and unique, that He knew you and had a purpose for you and a destination for you, and He sealed you. One version says He sealed you because He has a purpose for you from the beginning of time. And to become more like Jesus. Wow. So let no one make you feel that you are not, you know, you have no purpose, that you're just, no. I believe it's comforting to know and really believe things will work out for good, even on Good Friday, even on the day like Good Friday, with so much suffering and pain. And I wanted you to relate it to your life, that even when things look upside down and back to front and side by side, that lean on the comfort and the belief and hope that God is going to make everything work out. Now, when we look at Good Friday, if you imagine what the disciples felt like, it probably felt like there was no hope, nothing. That was the end. They felt that He was going to, some felt that He was going to like take over. He was going to be like King David. Some felt so many things. And then to see Him crucified like a thief, like a criminal, the worst of criminals, they're crucified. They must have been confused. But, and thought to themselves, some of them must have thought, I'm sure He's the one, but this is not how the end should be. Because He's died like the worst of criminals. You know, it doesn't, they must have thought, it doesn't make sense. Some might have even thought, I've given up so many years to follow, this doesn't make sense. Some of the crowd that were following might have gone back to the life and thought, we made a mistake, He's not the one. Someone thought, I just need to hang around His core people because I feel there's something, but I don't know, something that it doesn't seem like it is. And so I want us, bearing all that in mind and what happened to follow, know that no matter what state something is in now, no matter how it says, you know, as the scripture says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I want us to press into the fact that the joy is coming in the morning. That so long the joy is not there, then you've not reached the morning of that situation. So please don't give up. Do not give up. Amen. Do not give up. Don't think, well, that's the end of a matter. Now, I'm going to 11, well, 10, Romans 8, 10. Now, Christ lives His life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, His life-giving Spirit imparts life in you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, He will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. Amen. Right, let's look at another translation. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Amen. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit. I'm a bit thrown. I didn't realize the time. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying bodies to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. I want us to look at it in different ways. So even if there's a situation that looks hopeless, God can raise it back to life. And even about when we pass away, it's not the end. There's another life after that. So I want us to look at it in hope in so many ways. And it's comforting to know and really believe that things work out. Really believe it, okay? That even when something seems dead, the Lord can raise it back to life. When life is hard, remember that Jesus experienced hard times. The road to the cross was no small matter. Be encouraged by the way Jesus handled trials. He knew the joy that was before him and he persevered until the end. He's given you the same power to do the same. So in all that we do, we need to endeavor to persevere to the end. We need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to look unto Jesus, the one who began something and is taken to completion. We need to look unto Jesus and draw down that strength to be within us. Don't just think of, oh, it's over, oh, no, this is gone. Because look, everyone thought that it was over when Jesus went to the cross, but we have the resurrection. So until Jesus says so, stretch your faith to believe that he's still working. He's still working. I want us to, there was another scripture, John, but I want us to, let me just find that scripture. See what I've done? John 19. Why did I think it was 11? It's because now John 19 talks about, it's a long chapter, and it talks about what happened to Jesus, and I want you to read it through. Verse 11 said, then Jesus said, you would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin. You have no power over me at all. So even in your situation, circumstance, the enemy hasn't got the last final say. God is still working. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's much more that could be said, but let us pray. Father, help us to remember the pain and the suffering of the cross and all that Jesus was willing to endure so that we could be set free. He paid the price so our sins could be forgiven and would be forgiven, and that we would have eternal life. Help us never to take this gift for granted. Help us, Father my God, to tap into the grace required so that we can endure to, in our own situations and circumstances, the end, so that we will receive that joy that was set before us. And Lord, Let us know that it's set. It's set. The finish is joy. The finish is joy. Father, my God, we thank you. Adonai, we praise you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're yet to do. We are eternally grateful, Lord. We are eternally grateful. We look and we fix our eyes upon you and say, Jesus, have it all. Have it all. Have it all. Anyone that has not given their lives, we ask for you to surrender your life to the Lord. There's a great opportunity, great season to surrender and grab hold of everything that he has for you. Have a blessed and wonderful and glorious Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and have a blessed time. God bless. Goodbye for now.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb, yeah, till I made. You called my name
of heaven, where I was born.